Okay, today I want to go over with you a few inyanim on the parasha from the Sefer Eitzeh Pliyos HaTorah. Pliyos HaTorah. Wondrous things. Everything I'm telling you now I didn't know before, so it's all chidushim to me. But just to run through a couple of things. I only got through half the parasha, so we'll see how far. The first thing I found interesting was that we have here Machs HaShekel. The purpose of Machs HaShekel is to count. One of the reasons why you have Machs HaShekel is Moshe Rabbeinu was taking a census. And this is a whole discussion, all the halachas of how are you allowed to count people in Eretz Yisrael. They have a census. In America, there's a census. Okay, there's a much halacha discussion, but there's a very beautiful remes that how many people were there at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? 600,000. How many people died during the Egel, this week's parasha? 3,000. So the remez, amazing remez. The medrash is this from, I think it's Yalkut Shmoni. I never heard of Yalkut Shmoni before. You take the first letter of each one of the Shvatim. Ruvain is Reish, Shimon is Shin, Levi is Lamed, go through every Shevet, Asher is Aleph. Add up all of the first letters of all of the Shvatim, and what's the number? 597. To correspond to the 597,000 people of Klal Yisrael after the Chet Egel. Since Parshas Kisisa is the Parsha of the Egel, and according to some, Kisisa took place after the Chet, different opinions, when it was Kisisa as Rosh B'nai Yisrael, when did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to count Klal Yisrael? Was it after or before? But let's say it took place after the Chet Egel, what are the remainder? The remainder is...
So you're using Levi, not Menashe and Ephraim?
Menashe using Yosef. You're from Yosef. You're not using. Reish me Ruvain, Nun me Naftali, Shin me Shimon, Yud me Yehuda, Yud from Yisachar, Yud me Yosef.
So they're not doing Levi, right?
Levi. Oh, good point. They're doing Levi, the Lamed, three.
No, because then you'll be over not the 507.
Let me read the whole thing.
Kach Amar Kashmir Moshe, Reish Me Ruvain, Reish Me Ruvain Mosai Melef, Nun Me Naftali, Shin Me Shimon, Yud Me Yehuda, Yud Me Yisachar, Yud Me Yosef. No Levi, you're right, Yud Me Yosef. Because Levi was the one who killed Yud Me Yosef.
And you're only counting 11
Shvatim,
that's what I mean.
Zayim is Zvulin, Dalit Shaldan, Gimel Megod, Beis Binyamin, Aleph from Osher. So you're right, we left out Levi, only 11.
Levi
was not counted. Okay, so you only take the Shvatim which were counted, it should come out to 597. To correspond to the 597,000 people that remained after Sheva Levi killed 3,000 people who worship the Eik. That's an interesting little medrash. Okay, let's go to another very interesting halacha. Do you make a bracha when you give machtzis hashekel? Now, there's no question today we don't make a bracha because today we only give machtzis hashekel because of minuk, what used to be at the time of Shabbos Hamikdash HaYekayim. But what about Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash HaYekayim when a person would give machtzis hashekel? Would he make a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvah sivanu litein es machtzis hashekel? So it says here in the Rashba, okay, one of the major Rishonim, the Rashba, this is an incredible Chiddush, and you can use this Chiddush for other questions. Let me ask you another question. Do you make a bracha when you give Matonos Lo'evyonim on Purim? Do you make a bracha when you give Tzedakah? So what's the classic answer? Why don't you make a bracha when you give Tzedakah? It's totally B'das Acherim. B'das Acherim, who says the person is going to want to accept? Who says is going to accept? Any halach, when it's totally B'das Acherim, you're going to make a bracha. It's going to make a bracha Shalach Manos. You're going to make a bracha Matonos Lo'evyonim. Who says the recipient is going to want to accept it? That's the classic answer. The Rashba seems to say an entirely different answer, which is very bizarre. He says, it's not your money. Why is it not your money? It's a pasuk. V'chi mi ani. It's pasuk in where is this? This pasuk is in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, we learned this pasuk. V'chi mi ani umi ami ki netzar koyach lisnadev kazois ki mimcha hakol umiyadcha nasnu lach. Everything. I think David said this. Who said this? David.
Oh, I said
Nosana. Okay, it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perikov Test Pasuk Yudalit. that maybe it was Shlomo HaMelech who said this. See, the Shlomo, David HaMelech, all of the money that we've given to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's not even ours. Everything that we're giving you, everything we're giving to the Beis HaMikdash, from you comes everything, and from your own property, we're giving to you. Amazing statement. From this pasuk, so you take this pasuk literally, go to its extreme, I'm not giving you anything. Everything that we have in this world really comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, any time a mitzvah involves giving money, you cannot possibly make a bracha on giving money. You have not really given anything. There's no bracha. Incredible chiddush from the Rashba. And I'm assuming you can take this yisod, you can apply it to the reason why you would not make a bracha when you give tzedakah. Interesting. Okay, Barbanel. Okay, Rabbi Mayevsky is the expert on the Barbanel. He brings down an incredible Barbanel, chiddush to all of us. How are you mekayim the mitzvah of machsa shekel? So we assume you have the value of machsa shekel, a shekel, whatever the shekel was. Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim in the Midbar, they minted coins, they minted shkolim, and the Torah defines exactly how large a shekel should be. The their calculation, the Torah, how much silver shall go into a shekel. So you give the value of half of that shekel. The Barbanel says that's not the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is you actually take a shekel. You ever see those pill cutters? And those little things, you put a pill in, you press it, it cuts it into half. They had special shekel cutters. You take a shekel. Whatever it was doubled, whatever it was, but Moshe Rabbeinu minted, so you give the one that's chulin, all shekel.
Which is a machtas shekel.
That's what everyone else says. I'm telling you things that's the purpose of the sefer is telling you things which are very bizarre. The Perish of Barbanel Kosav, over here on the Psha and the Pasuk, called Zech Oiver and Perik Lam and Pasuk Gidimel Kosav, Dover Chidushu Pella. Everything in the Sefer he writes here is Chidushu Pella. Thick Sefer. The word Pella here must appear in the Sefer about a billion times. Shemitzis Masa Shekel He, Lachtoich is to cut. To take a knife and to cut. Vilivkoya Shekel Sholem Lishtei Chatich. Perik Lam and Pasuk Gidimel. Lam and Gidimel. Lachtech v'livkoya shekel shalem l'shtei chatichos, to cut the shekel into two pieces. The law says machsis achas tshuva l'Hashem. V'chein hu gam das sefer akedas Yitzchak, and he even wants to try to prove here in the sefer that the Ramban Kemat says the same thing. Very unique way of understanding the mitzvah. I've never heard of that before. Take a shekel and you're supposed to cut it. You have a knife. You have a bima on a knife, or you have a special pill cutter. You put the coin inside, and you press the button. You press down, it cuts it into half, and you put in the pile a half of a shekel.
But you have to say that because they had no other matzah.
That's the Ramban says. That's all they had. So you want to go say like Rav Meir says they had a shekel that was whole half. Other Rishonim say that. Also, he says no, they didn't have. It's a very unique approach to understanding the mitzvah of machsa shekel.
Don't have because that's why they got pieces of eight. But that's how you get change. If someone gave you a shekel and you needed that 2 or 7%,
you'd
cut pieces of it.
Can you imagine? Go to the store, give them a dollar. They take your dollar bill. I need $50 change. Take $100 bill. Cut it.
I did it when I was 3, my father.
Yes, you did?
My uncle gave me a $5 bill, told me to share it with my sister. And I did.
You took 90% of that. You had the seal on.
And everybody laughed.
Yeah. We're still laughing.
Okay, let's go to the next idea. We have a custom to wash our hands. This week's parashah, we learned about the kiyar. The kiyar is kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Kohanim, we bezman hazeh mishum srach tumah, and as an extension of that, we have the custom before we eat bread to wash our hands. Why do we wash our hands? And where does it come from? A concept of only washing your hands. And halacha, in order to become tar, you have to go to mikvah. Yeah, the only tara is when the entire body is immersed in a mikvah, or if they sprinkle upon you mayim tahirim from the mechatas. So where does it come from? The concept of washing only your hands? It comes from the kiyar. So the question is, if you want to really learn from the kiyar, we should be required to wash our feet as well. How come there's no such halacha when you wake up in the morning, only wash your hands, and you do not need to, you're not required to wash your feet? If we're learning from the Kiyah that there is such a concept, the two go together. In fact, the Kiyah, you have to wash hands and feet together. So he says, it's only a zecher. And because it's only a zecher, we don't go so far. I will use exactly where this comes from, the Sefer, this is the Machsa Shekel. Okay, the parish in Shulchan Aruch, not Machsa Shekel, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Machsa Shekel. He writes, I read these words, Af al gav sha koin hoye mekadesh games raglov min akia mikol mokom onu noilim rak es hayodayim b'shachar liyois bidoyme l'koyhein v'lo liyois shove b'chol hatstodim l'kiddush yodayim v'raglayim shel hakoyin. It's a dogma. And when you do a dogma, you don't go all the way. We don't make believe we are Kohanim. The only one that does the real thing is Kohanim. They do Yodayim Raglayim, Yisraelim, and even Kohanim is Manazeh. They do nothing more than a dogma, which is just the Yodayim. Then he brings down another very interesting concept, that when you wash your hands, you're removing tumah from your hands. He says the fascinating chiddush that not only is there tumah on the hands, there's also tumah on the feet. And the reason why we do not wash our feet is because in order to extract, to purge the tumor from your feet, you need to be a Baal Madrega. You need to be on an elevated spiritual level. And there's no one today that's on a level where they have koyach to remove the tumor that's on the tip of the feet through washing. They were kohanim, they were spiritual creatures. Their washing had the koyach to remove the tumah. We don't have that koyach. We have koyach bizman, as this is like a supernatural type of concept, to remove tumah on the yadayim, but we don't have koyach to remove tumah on the hands.
Strengthen your point, because the ear is mayim tahir, came from a mayim.
So it's holy water, but it does not.
You wash your hands, you go to the bathroom.
So you could also have, if you want, you can go to a mayan. You can also have a mayan to harem if you want. We don't find there's any such inyan of washing your hands with the mayan water to remove the feet. It's a dogma.
Maybe the guys go to mikvah.
Mikvah is everything. Mikvah is immersion in the entire body.
Right.
Kiddush yodayim raglayim.
Do it separately afterwards.
No, kiddush yodayim raglayim is a separate union just to wash the hands, the feet. It's a certain different type of tumor which comes off through. The Kohanim also went to mikvah. Even though the Kohanim were 100% tar, they also washed their hands and feet. You learn from this that there are different types of tumah. There's a tumah of yodayim v'raglayim, which is not related to the tumah saguf. And just because you go to mikvah and you're 100% tar, there's still a requirement that before the Kohen does avodah, he has to wash his hands and feet.
The Kohen Gadol had to do after the...
He did kiddush yadayim raglayim as well. Yes, it says beferish in the Mishnah. He did kiddush yadayim. Besides going to mikvah, he also washed hands and feet. We don't relate to this because we have no hasag what tum is bezman hazeh.
You wash your hands after the mikvah
Based on merchatz. That's a dinachanami. You go to the mikvah, you come out, you're supposed to wash your hands. Correct. You take a haircut. You're supposed
to
wash.
Also, you touch in places that are...
But let's say you would not touch your part of your body. There's still a separate tumah that comes only to the yadayim, which needs to be cleansed. You take a haircut. Let's say you don't touch your hair. You mechuyev to wash your hands after you take a haircut. To wash the tilas yadayim is a special. So the question is, since once we're doing yadayim, so why don't we do the raglayim as well? So either it's only a dogma, so don't get carried away, or no, there's really something to it, but it's not going to work, so don't even bother. Bizman is we have a koyach to remove tumah from the yadayim, but we don't have the koyach to remove tumah from the raglayim. The koyach tumah of the raglayim is so powerful, don't even bother.
It could also be that it only applies to a place where you had to go without the shoes because of kedusha.
It doesn't say that. Yeah, that's an idea.
It doesn't make sense. You're going to wash, clean your feet, and then you're going to put on your shoes?
So who says the shoes are dirty? Don't just the part. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. So let's go to another idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is something I always wondered about. I still don't have a clarity. We say in the Keteres, this week's the parasha. This week we read about the Keteres. Last week was the Keteres, parashas Tetzaveh, parashas Kisitsa. We also mentioned the 11 Sammanim. We only really mentioned a few of them, but we derive all the ingredients from this week's parasha. And it says in the pasuk how to prepare the keteres, v'shachakta nimena hadik, you shall grind it into powder. You shall grind these 11 ingredients into to be pulverized. We say in davening in the braisa in Masechta Krisos that b'shas at the moment when they would grind, they would say, Oimer the one that grinds would say, Hodek, Heitev, Heitev, Hodek. And then the Brayasa concludes, why would the person who was busy grinding the ingredients recite this little chant? Hodek, Heitev, Heitev, Hodek. Mibnei Shehakoil, Yofe, Labisamim. What in the world does that mean?
You just learned it in Navi, you said, that when they were building the Beis HaMikdash,
they were playing musical instruments.
Playing music.
That's not the Ketores. There it says that when they were laying the bricks, when they were doing the woodwork, when they were working, they were entertained by music. Now, it doesn't mean they were entertained, so it's a very difficult thing. It's not clear what it means. So I told you one interpretation is that building the Beis HaMikdash, you have to infuse the labor with Kedusha. When you lay the brick, it has to be with Kavanah. If there's Levim singing Shira, songs of Shevach V'Aydot of Nishbaruch, and they're playing musical instruments, that affects the Kavanah, the mind of the workers. So you want to say that when they're grinding and you're saying an idea, Shehakoil, you're saying that it's a Kavanah. It's a very beautiful interpretation of what he's saying. He doesn't say that here. He has a long list. You want to say is that part of the Koyach of the Keteres is when you make the ingredients, it should be done with, put Kavanah into the effort, and if you're going to be reciting, saying something, that will remind you to have a proper Kavanah. It's a very beautiful idea, an original idea from Rabbeinu Meir. What's your sefer called? Okay. But what exactly does it mean? Lefib shutai, mimnei shakoil yofel labisamim. So the Tosfos, okay? So Tosfos dir mesechta kreisos. He says the symbol pshat, which itself is very difficult to what this means, and I don't know if there's been any scientific research to explain what this means. He says that the sound waves have an effect on the quality of the ingredients. Sound waves. Can you imagine you're taking ingredients, some herbs, some exotic herbs from all over the world, you're putting it in a mortar, and you're grinding it, and it's been pulverized into dust. If there are sound waves that are spreading in the ear and make contact with these herbs, it's going to affect their potency, their quality, so that when you put these herbs on the fire, the fragrance that it produces will be of a higher, better quality. Mm-hmm. Is there such a scientific concept? There is? Sound waves?
They use sound waves to crush
items. Right, but doesn't mean it.
The ultrasound could actually break things.
Yeah?
Like kidney stone, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't discover
that. Sound waves? When they crush, that sound waves, yeah. Okay, so you do see something to it. It's like sound. Okay, so you do see something. Then you see there is some car. What? How? All right. So we don't know what it means. So here it's also physical. That's what we mean. We mean they're physical. We mean that these ingredients, these exotic herbs are being crushed. And they're very sensitive. We don't even know what these herbs are. These herbs are a very big mystery. What these samamanim are? We don't know what they are. A little big question. But somehow they're extremely sensitive. And if there are sound waves being applied to them as they're being crushed, it affects the quality of the samamanim. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos Masechet Kreisos says, and Avav Shekach Choya Bikabola Lechachmenu Zochinim Levracha Shehevel. Waves, hayotze min hakoil, which come out of a person's mouth, toiv labisamim. And then there's a discussion, does it mean specifically the sound waves of the words hodek, heitev, heitev, hodek? Something very specific about those sound waves? There's some magic in those words? Or it means any sound? If you'd be playing a musical instrument, it would accomplish the same thing, so there's a discussion. That's one interpretation. Now let me give you something. Now he has a lot of interpretations, many of them I don't understand. Some things I just can't grasp what he's saying. But one thing I picked up, which is very interesting, and maybe makes we can appreciate this today in modern times. We know that Rahman with some people who were involved in asbestos years ago today are very sick. Okay, we always on the radio, all the lawyers, the ambulance chasers, and Rahman with some, it's a very serious thing. Come out every, I think today this every home, come out every home in Flatbush today has asbestos in the pipes in the basement, they're all insulated with asbestos. And you know, if you want to have it removed, and just you want to have it removed, you know what it costs. You have to have it. Yeah, you want to have it removed legally. Not talking about what you do illegally, but you want to have it removed legally. You have to first get a permit from the city, which costs about. Someone told me it costs $5,000 to have a get a permit, and then they come in these suits, like you see, they come actually in these suits, and they take it off, and they put it in these special containers, which are like extremely expensive, very thick, very, and then they have showers outside for the people that are removing in this little installation. Yeah, Mike, someone I know said to me, I'll do it for $200. Okay, so this is a very interesting thing. It says here that the reason why the Kohanim would say, the Shulti Giborim says, the reason why the people that would prepare the ingredients would say, Hadek, Hetev, Hadek, Hadek, is because the ingredients are dangerous for your lungs. When you grind up the samimonim, it produces dust. Again, we don't know what these samimonim are. Who knows what they are? And the dust, it's fine dust. And the fine dust, you can inhale it. It goes into your nose. It goes into your throat. It goes into your lungs. It's used ascara. Ascara. Ascara was a disease of the... And it's sakana. The people who are involved in making the hair so different, what's the solution? The antidote? The antidote is talk. If you're going to say you're going to be involved in talking, you're forcing it out of your system. You're forcing it out. The dust will not penetrate your lungs to the point where you'll become sick from the samimonim. Amazing concept. You have to keep on saying that. It forces you.
Both of them together.
Hodek, Hetev, Hetev, Hodek?
Right.
Okay. So by saying... So by saying these words, you're forcing the dust particles out of your throat and you won't come to day sakana, fasting. You'd say this 200 years ago, you'd say, what are you talking about? Today, we understand what this means. Even the smallest particles, which are not, don't blend well in the lungs, can be lodged there, and Rahman al-Sam can lead to different diseases. So it's everything was predicted by Chazal. Another idea, he said just the opposite, that the person that's doing the preparation, he has to know when to stop. How much? This is not from the Shulis, from someone else. No question. How much weight? Because if you do it too much, it's no good. I mean, even though we learned that Erev Yom HaKippurim, they brought it back into the Machteshes, it should be yofen, min hayofen, it should be very, very fine. But there's a certain precision of how much crushing must be done. And the person that's doing the grinding can sense how much must be done by actually smelling the keteres as it's being crushed. Now the keteres is offered on fire. You put it on the mizbeach. But even in the preparation process of grinding it, it has a fragrance. And if you're sensitive to the fragrance, you'll know exactly where you're holding. By speaking, by saying hadek, hetev, hetev, hadek, it enhances your koyach of reach, of fragrance, of smelling.
They do slices, and they want to get it from a coarse size to a fine size.
Yeah.
They have these big separators that have different filters.
Okay.
And what happens is they shake it down from the top bottom.
Yeah.
And the more they shake it, the finer it gets. And then what happens, for example, let's say you're taking bay, the leaves. It shakes and shakes. So you have, let's say, 11 different heights. You take from the third height, you have broken bay leaves. You take it from the bottom, you have bay leaf powder.
Right.
So when you're saying hadek hetev, it's also giving you a time.
It's another interpretation. It's another, it's rhythm.
To know how...
Right,
how,
that's another interpretation. I didn't say... Right.
Gold leaf. Right. The more they bang it, the finer the leaf.
There's a certain rhythm. You have to be in rhythm when you're doing the process. Hodek, hetev, hetev, hodek. It's a chant which puts you in the right rhythm to make sure that it's been ground the proper way. But he's saying another idea here where it's a certain sensitivity of smell. The Metzius is when you speak, you have a greater sense of smell than if you're silent. Because when you're speaking, you're causing air to go in and out of your lungs, in and out of your nose. Subconsciously, that's what's happening. When you're silent, there is less flow of air in entering and exiting your nostrils. So we want the person to pay very close attention to how much of the salmonim need to be ground. And by speaking these words, it's just enough to open up a person's senses to know with precision where he's holding. Okay, let's go to another idea, Tosfos Shabbos. We learned about this in Parsha, the Shamu Leis of Shabbos, and the idea you can read this Parsha about Tosfos Shabbos. How many hours should a person ideally observe Tosfos Shabbos? Shabbos is 24 hours, a day is 24 hours. How many additional hours should you have? So there's a tradition, and the tradition comes from Al Pi Kabbalah. So he says, from Pri Eitz Chaim Shar Yud Ches, Yesh Lochaytsef Al HaShabbos, guess how much? You're going to be shocked. 7 hours. In total, 7 hours. How do you divide the 7 hours? He brings out many sources.
You bring,
7 hours. How do you divide the 7 hours of Tosfos Shabbos? I would think 3 and 3, right? Does that make sense? You start Shabbos 3 earliest. Oh, well, 3 and 4, 3 and a half, sorry, 3 and a half and 3 and a half. So indeed, he does say that the Shlah says you should divide it 3 and a half and 3 and a half.
Gimel Shos. They have a minyan Masa Shabbos, which is like 3 and a half hours.
Three, that's what the Shlah. The Shlah says 3 and a half hours. There is a tradition. I'll pick up. I guess 7. Shabbos is 7. So if Tosfos Shabbos, I'm assuming seven. You have another 7. And the Shlah says, Pasha, divide it 3 and a half before and 3 and a half after. That's the Shlah Kaddish. However, he brings down from many other Makoros. All these Svarim I never heard of. I'm not familiar with these things. Where they all say no. The Ikar way you're supposed to divide is all new to me. So I'm telling you, is 6 and 1. The Ikar Tosfos Shabbos should be Erev Shabbos from Mechatzos Ve'Elach. And he says something very interesting. He says here Tosfos Shabbos, a very beautiful idea, which is very practical. He says here, he brings down the Koros. Tosfos Shabbos doesn't just mean it's Shabbos. I can't do Malacha. You're thinking of Shabbos and you're preparing for Shabbos. Which is very true today. Think about it today. Many people today are ready for Shabbos at 1 o'clock. Shabbos is not saying Tachman. If you're already in a different modus operandi, you're completely different frame of mind. You're preparing Shabbos, you're changing, you're getting dressed, you're doing all your tzorcha Shabbos, even though technically you have not yet accepted upon yourself Shabbos, and you're doing malacha, and you're checking your email, you're answering the telephone, but you're already in a different mode. That, to some degree, is a kiyum of Tosfos Shabbos. And if that's true, everyone is mekayim this to some degree. Already, erev Shabbos, chatzos ve'elich, you're already thinking about Shabbos, you're acting differently, preparing differently, and mitzvah Shabbos, what's a Tosfos Shabbos? 1 hour. And we're also very true, because we're machmir. I mean, technically speaking, Shabbos is really over. I mean, I don't know, you can, if you really want to say Shabbos can be over 30 minutes after Shkia, and many people will not do Malach until at least 60 minutes, 50, 60, 72, 90. So the inyan of Tosfos Shabbos is 6 hours before and one hour after. And there's a many simon for this. The simon, one of the classic simonim, is how many kings were there in Eretz Yisrael that were wiped out by Yehoshua? 31 kings. And the pasuk says, Kol Hamalachim, after all the 31 kings are listed, Kol Hamalachim Shloishim V'Yechatz. I guess we mean Shabbos is called a Shabbos Malchasa. Shabbos, we call Shabbos the queen. So it says, Kol Hamalachim Shloishim V'Yechatz, Shabbos in total should be 31 hours. There are 24 hours in a day, plus add another 7, to bring you to 31.
But how is that related to Shabbos?
How is it related to Shabbos? Because Shabbos is called a Malka. Shabbos is a queen. Shabbos is Shabbos Malchasa. So we have a pasuk, Kol Hamalachim Shloshim Yach. We have a remez. Another remez is Kel Kol Hayoim. Kel is Gematria 31, or Kel Melech Yosef. Kel is 31, Lamed Aleph, Melech Yosef, Hashem is the Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is expressed, Hashem is Yosef, Al Kisei Malchus, Soyan Shabbos. No, that is the Remez. Okay, it's an interesting idea of Tosfos Shabbos 31, and there's another very interesting minog from the first Slonimah Rebbe. Anyone know who that was? Eitzel Harav HaKadosh Rebbe Avraham Yitzlonim, Zuchus Yogin Aleinu, Baal HaYisoyit HaAvoida. He was the first Slonimah Rebbe. He says here, Chibur HaRav HaKadosh of Avraham Weinberg, Zuchus HaAdmah HaRishon Le Shalsheles Slonim, Noilad BePinsk, Shnas Tov Kuf Samach Dalid. He has his whole yichus here. That's one of the very big miles of this sefer. Every single sefer, every single person he quotes, everyone, B'liyos Min HaKlal, he has a biography. It's incredible. The sefer is worth it just for that. And in the back of the sefer, there's an index. Any sefer you ever heard of, you wanted to know about who wrote it, what their name is, when they lived, a little short biography. It tells you the page number. And on the bottom of every single thing he quotes, he has these incredible biographies. That's worth the sefer just for that. But he has a beautiful minhag. He can't really do this. He can't really do this in America. Maybe you can. He says that they were chassidim. How were they knowing Tois for Shabbos? Beautiful minhag. It's done in Mareba. Whenever it was Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, that's when they observe Shabbos. So let's say Eretz Yisrael, you're living in Europe, and Eretz Yisrael, they're 3 hours ahead. Right? Two hours, wherever you are. So you always makbid if it's already Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. I'm a Kabbal Shabbos. Even though for me it's not sunset. Sunset is 2 hours later. In America, you... So Mitzvah Shabbos, it depends on the outside of the world. I guess if you're in the Far East. Yeah. If you're in the Far East.
So, in America,
yeah,
New York,
6 hours, 7 hours. 7 hours. Obviously, this minog was in existence before they came to America. Before there was the Yishuv in parts of the world where it's already not practical to observe. But obviously, there's something... What? It's only 1 hour. So they observed this. That was their minog of Tois v'Shabbos. If it's Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, already that's already a Zman Mesila where we should mekabel upon ourselves the Tois v'Shabbos in the Chutz Eretz, where of course it's Shaykh to do so.
Paris is Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is based on the Zman of Yerushalayim.
Well, right. That's the Moilad. The Moilad, because the Moilad is one moment. It's a universal moment. Since it's a universal moment when the moon is in between the sun and the earth, so Mela, it's we refer to Yerushalayim time. Okay, now there he gets into a very interesting discussion about Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Now this week we learned about Tois for Shabbos. And then we learn also about the reason why it gets into the discussions. We learn about the Egel. The Noshim did not participate in the Egel. And because the Noshim did not participate in the Egel, they were rewarded that they have a special affinity to Rosh Chodesh. Why Rosh Chodesh? So this is a very interesting point by itself. The Noshim are related to the Miat HaLevana. The Noshim, the first Chet in the world was, by human beings, was the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Chava gave Adam Tikli Eitz Hadas, and that brought Mis into the world. So Chava is very much associated with sin. Who else in the Bria is associated with sin? The Levana. Because the Levana complained. The Levana complained to Hashem, Ein Shtem Lachem Hashem Shem Keserecha. So Hashem says, Levana, you be my yourself. So this is like a Kabbalistic concept that women do not... Okay, this is controversial, but women generally do not recite Kiddush Levana, because since a woman was Chote Eitz Hadas, and Levana is associated with Miut, with Chet, so women stay away from that. But yet on the other hand, when women are rewarded for doing something extra special, they are rewarded with the Levana, with the moon. Where do we find that? In this week's parasha, the Egel. The Egel, the women did not participate in the word of the Egel. They did not give their earrings. So they were rewarded that they have a special Yom Tif of Rosh Chodesh. They do things on the Rosh Chodesh that they observe it in a way that we do not. So they have both sides of the coin. On one hand, they distance themselves from the Levana. They don't say Kiddush Levana. On the other hand, they're rewarded that they celebrate Rosh Chodesh, which represents Levana more than other people. And now going out, goes on. On Rosh Chodesh is when the Chiddush is the renewal of the Levana. It's the renewal.
The point of the matter is,
it's small.
The Nashim can celebrate that because the Levana is not there.
It's not there. All right, I hear what you mean. So now, here's an interesting question. I'll get also on a side topic. What about saying Kiddush Levana Friday night? So what is it? Why don't we say Kiddush Levana Friday night? The halacha is you're not supposed to. B'shas atchakif, if you miss it, it's the last chance, so then there is a heter. It's even that's not so simple. What?
The last chance is not really the last chance. They're saying until the middle of the month.
No, that's it, right, that's it. No,
you can't.
You can't. after the middle of the month. The question is, the middle, when's called the middle of the month? There's you're allowed to go a little bit over, but once you get clearly past the 16th day, can't say it. Positive. Once you get past the end, the luach, sometimes the luach has a zman where it's a little bit.
So tells you last minute 8:50.
There are different opinions. There are different opinions. One school is the last, but once you get past the real end, according to all opinions, it's that it's too late.
I think we had it this year, but
it's common enough.
Yeah. So the question is, why don't we do? Generally, a person is not supposed to kiss the bona fide. So he says many answers. One answer is that in the Baisa Bereishis, v'hoyu l'oisos ulimo adim, that it will be for osos, that the shemesh and the erech will be as signs ulimo adim. We learn from this that the word, the shemesh and the erech, are called osos. What does it mean, osos? We use it for a mitzvah, we mekadesh the shechina, mekadesh the levana. Do we wear tefillin on Shabbos? No. Why not? Because Shabbos itself is called an ois. So once Shabbos is done, we don't need any additional oises. So for that very same reason, we have bris milah. Exactly, but we don't need an additional ois. For that very same reason, we're not mekadesh levana Friday night, lechatchila, because Shabbos is the ois. The only reason why you wouldn't mekadesh levana, but mekadesh levana, it's an ois. V'hoyu l'oisois ulamoadim. It is a sign that we are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk calls the Yoreach an Os. La Oso Sun Lamoadim. So just like Tefillin we don't observe on Shabbos because Shabbos is an Os, so too we don't commemorate the Levana on Shabbos because Shabbos is an Os. So another quick, very general, quick reasons. Another reason, because you're supposed to dance. You're supposed to dance when you recite the Kiddush Levana, and on Shabbos you're not supposed to dance. You may come to Misak and Kalei Shir. Another reason, not every time is the Levana in an area where there's a Mechit, where there's a, it's a Rishus HaYachid. And if you don't know Baal Peh, you may come to carry a siddur, yeah, b'chutz. You may come to carry a siddur outside into a rishus rabbit with a karmelis. And if a chazal loy plug, they did not want people going out in mikash levana. When there's a concern, you may come to carry. Another reason is because the levana is above the tchum. It's considered as if you're traveling outside. That's what it says. Outside the tchum.
That's
okay.
That's
and another reason, Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. Shabbos is a Simcha. Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. Another reason is because Shabbos is called the King. Hashem will makabel the Melech. The Shechina is the Malka. This is very interesting. It's not Derech Eretz to give cover to the Queen when the King is in front of you. Ooh. You know, you only give cover when the King is present. The King gets the honor. Hashem comes Friday night. It's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. Is Shabbos Vayinov Hashem. We give cover to the Melech. It's not the Echer. It's to focus on the Malka, the Shechina.
Another reason. You already say three times Shalom Aleichem. So now you'll have to say another three times.
Okay, one last thing. We're out of time. One last thing. It says in the pasuk, Vayaram ki voishesh Moshe l'redes min har, Vayikohel ha'om al aharon. Why doesn't it say Vayikohel ha'om al aharon akoyin the kohen gadol? So there's an Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says at the end that when he presents this, how could it possibly be Aaron? He made an eagle. What's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. So he presents this opinion. He rejects it. He thoroughly rejects it, but he presents it. There are people who say, "Hey, the chiddush nifla meod, chiddush nifla meod, sheyesh ayrim, shemasha kosov b'toyra she'osa Aaron es egel, ein hakavon al Aaron akoyin ochev shol Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom, el al ish acher sheshmo ha'yegam kein Aaron." Ibn Ezra, and he quotes the Medrash. There were 80 every couple Aaron akoyin was a marriage counselor. He was a specialist, Shalom Bayis. It says that there are 80,000 couples, he saved their marriage. 80,000 couples, a lot of fights in the Midbar. Okay, a lot of things to fight about. 80,000 couples had fights, and they came to him, and he saved their marriage, and they had a child subsequent. And they named their baby, they named Aaron in honor of him. So it says there were 80,000 Aarons in the Midbar.
But they would have had a nice one.
Okay, later on, 80,000. So it was one of those Aarons, he rose to a rank of a leader, 80,000 arons.
Like Paro, there's an
80,000 arons. So one of those arons rose to a high rank among the people, and he was the one who made the eagle, not Aaron the Kohen. Yeah, I mean, it's a chiddush. The Ibn Ezra says, I reject this. Can't be. But it's interesting.